Amen. One of my favorite Christmas hymns. God rest you merry gentlemen. Well, what a great way to wind down Christmas Day in the house of the Lord, hearing the scripture read and songs and praying, giving. It's really what Christmas is all about, isn't it? It truly is. Certainly there's other things that we enjoy on Christmas. I thought about today as we were going to be meeting here tonight how that many families get together on Christmas Eve and they exchange gifts, and sometimes they get together on Christmas, and when you become married you get together, you get together 3 or 4 days and exchange gifts at different places. Just depends on how your family functions and things that go on. And I began to think about gifts and giving of gifts and how that the Bible teaches over and over again that Jesus Christ is a gift. It's God's gift to mankind, is the Lord Jesus. He referred to himself as a gift in John chapter 4. When he was speaking to the woman of the well, he said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God." He's the gift of God that brings eternal life. Amen. He really is. Someone has said he's the gift that keeps on giving. Amen. I will tell you this, Paul said it. Now, he didn't put it in those words, but in Romans chapter 8 in verse number 32, he said this. He said, "God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Now, what Paul was doing there is he's kind of arguing theologically. He's arguing from the greater to the less. And he's telling those believers there, he's saying, listen, you should never doubt God's love for you. You should never doubt that God's going to take care of you. Because if God spared not his own son for you, there's nothing that God would not do for you. And we need to keep that in mind this Christmas day and each day of the new year, that God has given the greatest. He's given the greatest that could ever be given. And he will not let you and I do without in this life. And I'm thankful for that. You know, some people by nature are good gift givers. How many of you get together with your family and you exchange gifts? Raise your hand. You say, that's just something we do as family. We exchange gifts. Most people do, don't they? You get together and you exchange gifts. And I'm not really sure where that got started. I mean, I know where it got started. It got started in Matthew chapter 2 in the Bible. But it got started when those wise men found where Jesus was and gave him those gifts. But I'm not sure how it caught on and how people began to make that a part of their Christmas. I know as far back as I can remember, we did that in our family, and we still do. We've carried that on, and we still get together. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to buy gifts and exchange gifts and see people, their faces light up. And in many, many instances, it meets needs when you buy people gifts. Now, sometimes, and maybe more now than ever, it's more of just giving people something that they desire to have instead of something they really need. But when I thought about giving gifts, I thought about, well, people who give us gifts. I thought about myself. What do I do when I want to give someone a gift? How does that process begin? Because, I mean, we don't give everyone a gift. There's only a few people within our circle that we give gifts around this time of year. And I began to think about the natural side of that, and then I began to think about the spiritual side of it. Now, before I get into that, and it's going to be just some truths, some thoughts that I want to give you to think about gift giving and receiving. Because this is really what Christmas is about. It truly is. It's exchanging. And I noticed Brother N. Bowden, he mentioned that in his prayer, the exchanging of gifts. We get together with friends and family and we exchange gifts. But there's a lot of thought that goes into that. There's a lot of time that is spent, there's money, there's sacrifices that are made so that that event, when it begins to culminate and when it reaches its peak and we exchange that, there's a lot of background work to that, and so is there when God gave his gift. And oftentimes we just kind of look at the gift and we move on from there, but that's just not the way it was. There was, listen, before the foundation of the world, and our little minds cannot wrap around this, before the foundation of the world, God gave his son to die for us. And that's something. That's something we can't even wrap our minds around. So Christmas didn't begin when Jesus was born. I mean, that's, I guess, officially. But before the foundation of the world, God had already, in His infinite mind, He had already planned that event. A lot of planning going into that gift giving. Now, I'm not one, I'm not a very good gift giver, and I'm going to share a story with you, okay? Now, I will say this, my wife and my mother-in-law, Sharon and Jean right there, they're the greatest gift selectors and givers I've ever seen. I mean, it seems like they always get people what they want. Do you have somebody like that in your family? I mean, you just, some people, they just know what to give. And it's just amazing. They're great at choosing gifts and at giving gifts, and it's just, there's usually one of those, if not more, in every family. I'm not that person, okay? I remember when Sharon and I started dating, and she's looking at me like, please don't tell this story. Well, it's too late. I didn't start it. When Sharon and I first started dating, it was our first Christmas together. And me and a buddy of mine, we worked together at a grocery store, and we thought we're going to do this great thing for our girlfriends. We're going to get them matching outfits. And we thought that was going to be the greatest thing ever. I mean, we really did. We went to this place, and we got them, I mean, you know, these plaid skirts and these tops. And you know, he was a terrible gift giver. He was going to get them the same color. I said, no, you fool. You know, don't get them the same color. You get brown, and I'll get blue. Amen. So I'm how crazy is that? So we thought they're going to be just excited. You know, when we give these gifts, they're just going to think this is the greatest thing ever. Well, I think you know what happened. And that's just the way, you know, that's my gift-giving ability. It's not the best. It's just not. Now, I don't know how your gift-giving ability is, but I'll tell you what does matter. I was thinking about her. She had mercy on me. She knew. You know, He was thinking about me. He wanted to do the right thing. There's three things that I want you to notice as I speak to you tonight, and I'm going to talk to you from the scripture a little bit, but I want you to notice something about, and you do this, everyone does this when they go to get a gift. Number one, as I said earlier, we don't just get a gift for anyone, all right? You have to have a care for a person. You have to have a thought. That person has to be in your mind, in your heart. It has to be someone you care about and possibly even love if you're going to get them a gift. You just don't go around getting everybody you meet a gift. It's a special person you get a gift for. And that means something. Now, I want you to think about this spiritually, when God gave us His gift. See, there's a lot of people that think God is angry at them and God is wanting to condemn them. I want to tell you what the Bible says. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know, verse 17 is hardly ever quoted. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. See, that's why Jesus came. Amen. So see, can I tell you, if God didn't like you, He'd have killed you a long time ago. Right. Amen. Yeah. You know, and so I want you to understand something. When God gave His gift, He had you in mind. I want you to understand, Jesus Christ died. God's gift is for the whole world. All right? Jesus died for you. And I want you to really, really take that in tonight on this Christmas night. I want you to get that God's gift was directly to you. He gave that gift to you. All right? So, number one, in picking out a gift and in giving a gift, they have to be on your heart. They have to be on your mind. Number two, usually when you're picking out a gift for someone, you try to think of something they don't have. All right? You try to think of something. You know, I don't want to get them just something to have a lot of, right? I know I do that. It might match somebody else's, but you don't want to buy something that you know they have 50 of. You want to try to get them something that you know that they need, right? Or that they desire. Or maybe they're lacking in something. And you say, well, you know, I want to get them something that they don't have, that they're lacking. And then I begin to think about God's gift. Now think about that for a moment. When you got gifts for your family members this Christmas, perhaps you exchanged the gifts last night. Perhaps you've done it today, or you plan on doing it tonight or tomorrow. I know our family will get together tomorrow and we'll have a good time together, and we'll exchange gifts and we'll have a meal and we'll just spend that good time together as a family. Perhaps you've already done that. But when you gave those gifts, you wanted to give something you know that they would really appreciate, something that they needed, something that they desired. You heard them say, oh, I would like to have this. And then I got to thinking about God's gift. When God sent Jesus, it's not only something that we needed, it's something that we desired. God put that in our hearts to desire it. I remember the day I got saved, how that there was such a desire in my heart to have God's gift. I didn't even know that's what I needed until I received it. And then I realized, this is what I've been looking for all of my life.
Amen.
This was what was missing from my life. And I want to tell you, friend, something's missing in your life if Jesus does not live in your heart. Something's missing. You know, when Jesus gave that gift, he gave that gift realizing that it's something we all needed. See, I couldn't get to heaven on my own. I couldn't have a relationship with God without Jesus, the gift of God. I couldn't have the peace of God in my heart that I longed for. I couldn't have that calm in my soul that I needed, and that consciousness of my sin being forgiven and having a right relationship with God without God's gift, Jesus Christ. See, God knew I needed that. And so when he gave that gift, he gave that gift with that in mind. Can I tell you, gift given hasn't changed since God gave his gift. We still follow that same protocol. But now there's a third thing that I want you to think about. All right? So first of all, when we go to get gifts, and it's no different than when God gave his gift, he just set the precedent. And can I tell you, he set the bar so high it can never be matched. It can never be matched. All right, number one, you give gifts to people that you care about, that means something to you. I'm glad that I mean something to God, aren't you?
Amen.
We mean something to the Lord. That's why he gave that gift. Number two, we try to give something we know they need or that they desire, that they lack. And can I say that Jesus meets all that criteria? He meets every bit of that and then some.
Yeah.
I like the song that Marcus and Mariah has been singing. Actually, I don't like it. I love it. It's one of my favorites. He's more than wonderful. He's all of that and so much more, the songwriter said. And brethren, Jesus is all that the Word says he is and so much more. Through eternity, we're going to be finding out and our knowledge is going to be increasing of this great gift that God has given us. What a wonderful gift is Jesus Christ. But you know, there's a third thing about a gift. Oftentimes, we may know that a person needs something, we care about them, and we realize that, you know, this is something lacking or something they desire, but the funds have to be there. The gift has to be paid for. There's been times in my life that I've had to make a little sacrifice to get the person that meant something very much to me a gift that I wanted to give them. I went outside some boundaries that I had set that I wouldn't go outside in order that they could enjoy that gift. Can I tell you, God paid the ultimate sacrifice. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for that gift. There was no price too large that God wasn't willing to pay so that we could receive the greatest gift that's ever been given.
Amen.
You know, when we exchange gifts, if you haven't already, or if God allows us to live to another time, where at Christmas time we will sit around a tree, a table, a living room area, whatever we sit around and we exchange gifts, I pray that we would keep these three things in mind and remember that God did that for us. I want to share something with you about this gift that keeps on giving. I want to give you some scripture. All right? The first thing that I think about this gift that God has given is how that Christ, that sacrifice, that price that was paid, meant so much and it cost so much. It cost Jesus more than I think that our minds can really fully comprehend, not only in this life, but I believe in the life to come. I don't think we'll ever be able to fully comprehend what it costs God and Christ that gift should be given. There wasn't truly an exchange going on, and I want you to think about this exchange. Number one, Christ was made flesh that we might know God. People say, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? So that we could know God. Did you know the Bible taught that? You say, well, you can know God without Jesus. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, no, you can't. Not the way God desires to be known. Not the way God needs to be known. You cannot, we cannot know God outside of Jesus Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, the Word was made flesh. Why? So that Jesus could communicate God to us in a way that we needed God communicated to us. Jesus brought us together with God. He is the only bridge to God. He's the only way. There's no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no way. Did you know John 1:18 says that no man hath seen God? You say, well, I know God without Jesus. That's not what John 1:18 says. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Jesus declared the Father. Jesus manifested God to us so that we could know Him in the way that He needs to be known. So see, Jesus took on a robe of flesh. He became flesh. He was made flesh. Did you know that was a great sacrifice? It is. We don't often think about that, do we? We just don't. We just say, oh, well, so God became a man. The second person of the Godhead became a man. There's really not much to that. There's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. There was a lot set aside in order for that to happen. Read Philippians chapter 2. He took upon Him the form of a servant. He set aside some things in order that He might bring us to God. And we need to get that and not forget it. See, there was an exchange that took place there. There was a second exchange that took place. And that is that He was made poor that we might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that He was rich, yet for your sakes He become poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. You say, well, I'm not rich. Oh, yes, you are. You say, well, I didn't get those kind of good gifts, preacher. You got a gift that no gift can equal. You have been gifted with the gift that Ephesians 1:3 says that you have been blessed with all eternal and spiritual blessings in Christ. You have all, listen, we're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ have, we have. Amen. Isn't that something?
Amen.
So, well, I'm not rich. Oh, yes, you are. You just haven't received your inheritance quite yet. Well, you have, you just haven't come to realize it. But Jesus became poor in order for that to happen. See, that was an exchange. Jesus was rich. We were poor and needy. He became poor. Listen, He said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. I saw something, and I don't want to get off on this. It's Christmas, but these preachers that fly around in Lear jets and fleece their people and just... It's sickening, brethren. It's sickening. I don't want to get on that. I will say this. Jesus gave it all up so that we could have it all. All right? You are a spiritually blessed person. And I pray to God that as you opened up your gifts around the table with your family, that you looked them in the face and said, thank you so much for that gift. Somewhere, if you haven't already today, you'll get along with God. And look in the face of Jesus and say, thank you so much for your gift to me. It's done something that no other gift has ever done. It's a gift that just keeps on giving. I just keep on receiving. I just keep on reaping from this gift. And God, I want to praise you for it. What an exchange. He became poor that we might be rich. But there's a third exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, meaning God, hath made Him, meaning Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I stand before you a righteous man tonight, not because of anything I've done.
Amen.
Not because of any good works or any family heritage or lineage that I come from, I stand before you a righteous man because I have exchanged my sin for Christ's righteousness. And if you have done that at Calvary, you're righteous tonight. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel very righteous. Well, that doesn't mean that you're not. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are clothed in the righteousness of God.
Amen.
You are clothed in His righteousness. What an exchange. What an exchange, this gift that we have in Jesus Christ. And then there's a fourth and final one that I'll mention. Jesus took the penalty of sin that we might receive the abundance of life. You see, the wages of sin is death. That little babe that was born was not born to live and to become a king. Oh, he would have, but God knew that Israel would not receive him as their king, and they didn't. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They would not receive him. He came into his own, John 1:11, and his own received him not. Verse number 12 says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power. You say, well, you know, hey, wait a minute. You know, I'm in America. No, to them that received him. I believe in God. That's not what the book says. The book says to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You have to receive him. Now, what's that mean? That means the gift has been wrapped and presented to you, my friend. This gift that I talked to you about tonight. The gift of God, which is eternal life. I was speaking with Scott, and I were having a conversation today, and we were talking about some spiritual things. And I said, you know, sometimes I think we kind of jump ahead in this thing called salvation and this thing on getting right with God, and we just jump from here to there. And we say, well, we're going to heaven. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Thank God for that. That's a wonderful thing. But can I tell you, that's not where you need to start. You need to start with the journey. Now, you have eternal life the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But can I tell you, Jesus not only gives eternal life, He will exchange the death, the sentence of death. Listen to me now. The condemnation of God and the sentence of death that's upon every individual. He said, I'll exchange it and give you not only eternal life, but abundant life. He said, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy, John 10:10. But I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you know anything about that abundant life tonight? I do. There's a river flowing in my soul. And that river just keeps flowing. And sometimes it flows over the banks, brethren. And I experience joy unspeakable and full of glory because of this gift that God has given me. I pray that you know something about it. It's what Christmas is all about. Gift giving, gift receiving, exchanging of gifts. There's thought that goes into it. You care about people you get gifts for. If someone gave you a gift this Christmas, no matter of how little or how big you viewed that gift, please know this, they were thinking of you or you wouldn't have got that gift. They were thinking of you. They cared something about you. You were on their mind. God cares about you. That's why He gave the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number two, not only does someone think about you and care and love you, but they want to give you something you need or desire or something you lack. That means people's paying attention to your life. When you open up a gift and you say, you know what, I've always wanted this, or this is exactly what I wanted, that means they were paying attention to you. They were meticulous and looking and listening. I'm glad that God is up close and personal. I talked to a guy one time several years back, and he tried to tell me, well, you know, God created us and left us here on this terrestrial ball, and the celestial ball, just to fend for ourselves. I said, you don't understand the God that I serve. God is up close and personal. He's very detailed in my life. And he cares about my needs, and He cares about my desires, and He cares about my hurts, and He cares about my sorrow. God cares about yours too. And then God was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. What a price. What a price that Jesus paid. He exchanged some things in this gift that keeps on giving. I pray that you would recognize this, and that your Christmas will be a merry one. It can be. I trust it has been. And I pray everyone will be. You say, well, now, preacher, there's someone missing from the table this year. Well, you know what? I'm sorry for that. I don't know that there's probably not a family sitting in our midst tonight that someone's not missing at the table. Somewhere along the line, there are people that are in great hurt tonight, not because someone's missing from the table, but because of some things that are going on in their personal lives. While we sit here, and maybe many of you, I can't say all of you, having a Merry Christmas, there may be some folks here that are hurting and are lonely, and their heart is full of sorrow. And yes, that can happen at Christmas time too. I pray that somehow that you would lift your head above that and realize there's a God in heaven who loves you and who cares what you're going through and has given a gift that keeps on giving. And if you have not received that gift, that you would receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And with that will come the abundant life, that regardless of what you're going through, God will give you joy deep down in the recesses of your soul. That no matter how high the sorrow mounts, the joy, like a fountain, is springing up into wells of water, bringing forth the joy of the Lord in your soul. I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet, and I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll do our candle lighting and close with a Christmas hymn. What about you? You've received some good gifts this year. Some good gifts. I trust you were thankful. I don't know of anything that bothers me individually as much as seeing someone unthankful. I pray often and ask God, God, help me not to get to where I just expect you to do things and I take things for granted. It can happen to us, can it, brethren? I mean, God's so good to us, and we're just blessed abundantly, and if we're not careful, we'll just take that abundance for granted. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. Someone does something for me, I want to be thankful. I want to be grateful for it. And as God does things for me continuously, I want to tell Him thank you. Would you remember to do that? Would you remember, God, thank you for the gift that keeps on giving?